Hey, good morning, everyone. Glad you made it. I didn't even realize it was daylight savings time, but thankfully the clocks reset automatically these days. So glad you're all here. Folks online, glad you're tuning in, probably in your bathrobe as you got up. Hey, here's where we're going to start today. We're going to start with a little history lesson. We're going back to 1930, the Great Depression. Stock market crashes, banks fail, hunger is rampant. You know, unemployment is just out of control. At that time, it hit a record, and it's never been as high, 25% in the U.S. unemployment. Worldwide, the Great Depression hits, and the most is 30% unemployment in Germany. People are really struggling during the Great Depression. And some folks step in to help. They step up. They do things to help people in need. One guy in Chicago, he opened all of these food kitchens, you know, soup kitchens, fed thousands of people. In Germany, this new group came forward, and they helped feed people. They handed out blankets and clothing. They gave benefits to those that were unemployed. It's important. It's important to step up and help people when they're in need. And the guy that opened all those soup kitchens and fed all those people in Chicago was Al Capone. And he did it to improve his public image. The new group that helped so many people in Germany was the Nazi Party. They did it to gain power, to advance their racist agenda, to take over the world. Us humans, we are actually really good at doing the right thing for the wrong reason. And we'll see today that God, he cares way more about our hearts, our motives, than he does our actions. Yeah, this is a real trap for us humans. We think that if we can just do what's good, if we can just follow the rules, then our intentions, our hearts don't really matter. Come on. Al Capone, the Nazis, they could do what's good. That's not good enough. God's calling us into something better. He's calling us to go beyond religion and actually have the Holy Spirit form a kingdom heart of goodness in us, a heart that does what's right for the right reasons. Yeah, where we're at now in Lent is we are starting a new series of talks, and we're going to look at some traps, some heart dangers that Jesus shows us that prevent the Holy Spirit from forming this kingdom heart of goodness in us. But first, let's get a little context. If you're newer to the Vineyard, we're going to do a little review to get you up to speed. So over the last two years, the Holy Spirit has been calling us as a community to press further deeper into discipleship, to press further into transformation, Jesus bringing us to life. Yeah, Jesus doesn't just promise us a ticket to heaven. No, over and over again, he promises us new life, eternal life, his kind of life starting now and going on forever. So how does he transform us? Well, to see that, we've looked at some of the classic transformation books in the Bible. We started with Colossians, and then we looked at 1 Peter, and we looked at 1 John. And all of these books point to how God transforms us, how he does that. Now, that's not the only thing we've done in the last 2 years. We also took time to learn to lament. I mean, we needed to after our abuse scandal. You know, that's something that you can read about on the internet. We're not sweeping it under the carpet. But that learning to lament, it also taught us about transformation. How no matter what happens in this world, no matter what horrible, evil things happen, we can connect with God. We can be in his transforming presence. All right, so in these books on transformation, what we learned from Colossians and 1 Peter and 1 John is that transformation starts with God's love. It is based in God's love. Like it says in Colossians, "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. You and I, we got to see, we got to know, we got to look up and see God's incredible goodness and his beauty and that he is madly in love with us. We need that so we can trust him and press into transformation. We need it to motivate us to press into transformation. That is so important. And then we can go on, and like it says in Colossians, to put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Yeah, Yeah, and when we went past Jesus' guys, you know, Peter, Paul, John, when we went past his guys to actually hearing what Jesus has to say in the Sermon on the Mount, when we got there, same thing. Matthew 5, Sermon on the Mount starts with the Beatitudes, this incredible picture of God's goodness and his love, that the kingdom of God is available to absolutely everyone. No matter how hopeless it seems, the gift is for us all. We looked at that before Christmas this year. Yeah, it is so key to start with God's love and his goodness, and we have to keep coming back to it over and over again, that God is madly in love with us. All right, after that, in the Sermon on the Mount, what we started to see is that what we got this vision, this picture of Jesus taking us beyond religion, taking us beyond, going beyond rules and religion, and him forming this kingdom heart of goodness in us. That's what we've been looking at. So Jesus talks about that, having this heart. And so he says, Matthew 20, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness," that's your dekesune, your true inner goodness, "surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." And what we just finished doing was unpacking six contrasts between that old religious righteousness and this new kingdom heart righteousness, dekesune. And those six contrasts, those six illustrations, they show us how the kingdom heart of goodness operates in the real world. And in the real world, that heart operates out of unconditional love, agape love. This new life that we have, it flows out of a heart full of God's love. That's why Jesus can say, and this was the verse we ended on last week, the last verse that Steph read, is he can say, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Jesus isn't kidding. This isn't a joke, right? It's not impossible, some fantasy. Jesus is just telling his followers, be who you are. Because of his death on the cross, because he gave his life to pay the price for our sins, when God looks at us, he sees perfect. He sees sinless. I don't know about you, but I'm not always perfect these days. I don't feel perfect. And what Jesus is saying is that can change. It can start to change now. We can go beyond religion and have this kingdom heart in us that naturally bears good fruit. So that's where we're at, pressing into transformation, right? We're pressing into having this heart that bears good fruit, that does this. So that's what we're looking at happening in us. And it will happen or it won't. That's what our next series is about. Right after Jesus says, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect," he says, "Be careful. Things can go wrong. There are traps. There are heart dangers that we fall into." And Jesus, he made us. He knows us. He's a genius. It's only fair for him to tell us where we would get off track, right? Where we would mess up his plan. Forewarned is forearmed. So during Lent, there's actually cards in the seat backs that spell this whole out. During Lent, what we're going to do is unpack these heart dangers, these warnings that God gives us, that Jesus gives us. He gives us two big warnings about things that hinder, that prevent us from him forming the kingdom heart and goodness in us. And he does this, he warns us so we can avoid the traps. He warns us so we can see where we've already fallen into these traps. So here we go, starting in Matthew 6. Be careful, warning. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. The first big heart danger is doing good to look good. Mobsters, Nazis, Pharisees do this. We don't want to do this. This doesn't need to be it, us. But I'll tell you, for church folk, this is a huge temptation. We have a huge desire for other people to look at us and think that we are good because we are devout and we are spiritual and we are faithful. Dallas Willard, he calls this the respectability trap. And he writes about why it is so dangerous. Desire for religious respect or reputation will immediately drag us into the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, because that desire always focuses entirely upon the visible action, not on the source of action in the heart. Yeah, two big reasons why doing good to look good is so dangerous. And the first is it drags us back into religion, into where the Pharisees live, right? Into this lie that if we just do good, then we are good. No, Jesus is clear. We are good when our heart is good. And that's the other danger, which it takes, if we do this, it takes our focus off our hearts, where it belongs. God focuses on our hearts. It's why he said to Samuel, "The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Or why Jesus said, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart." Yeah, when we do good things to look good, we're not going beyond religion. We are diving deeper into religion, and we're missing out what God's doing, him forming a kingdom heart of goodness in us. And this is a big deal. Jesus talked quite a bit about this. He definitely called the Pharisees out on this. It's Matthew 23. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for people to see." Everything they do is done for people to see. "They make their paraclete treats," and these are these leather boxes that had scripture in them that they would tie them to themselves to remind themselves to keep the law. "They make their paraclete trees wide and their tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Now, this is from a long time ago in a different culture, but it is still helpful to see how the Pharisees fell into this trap, right? They made themselves look good by becoming experts. They were experts on following the law, even though they didn't actually follow it themselves. And they made themselves look good. They made themselves look good by like dressing up all religious, right? With these boxes on, their big boxes and their tassels and their seats of honor. They made themselves look good by having people call them, you know, these names of honor, rabbi, instructor, teacher. And all the time, they cared more about looking good than being good. They cared more about impressing people than impressing God. And this pissed Jesus off. You can read it. Keep reading in Matthew 23. Jesus goes on to call them hypocrites, children of hell, blind fools, whitewashed tombs, snakes, brood of vipers. Jesus was worked up. What about us? What about us? When do we do good just to look good? I mean, we like to have fancy titles too. Puffing, stretching, lying on our resumes is epidemic. How often do we help others? Do we do public service so we can post it on the internet, pictures of us doing it, or, you know, put it on our college applications? Here at the Vineyard, we used to give out something called the Servant of the Year Award. And there's nothing wrong with serving, but I'm not sure that helped people serve unto the Lord. I think it might have been part of a past culture that valued performance over character, and then I'm pretty sure pissed Jesus off. This is a real danger. It's a real danger today for us. We sometimes we want to go to church and go to small groups so people see us. We want to do good things so people think we are good. I know myself, I remember years ago, I was in small group, we're praying, we're listening to the Holy Spirit, I'm trying to see if I can get some words, some pictures, and at the very same time, in my head, I'm thinking, what am I going to say? How am I going to say it well? I want people to be impressed by my prayer. I have fallen into that trap. How have we fallen into this trap? How is this keeping the Holy Spirit from forming a kingdom heart of goodness in us? How is it preventing us, from preventing Jesus from bringing us to life? This is a big deal. It's important. Jesus calls it out. It is a big trap that we fall into. And what Jesus is going to do now is he's going to give us three examples, not laws, not rules, three illustrations of where this plays out in the real world. It plays out when we give to the needy, when we pray, and when we fast. And today we're going to look at giving to the needy. And Jesus is still, he's still contrasting the old righteousness of the Pharisees, religious righteousness, with this new kingdom heart, kingdom righteousness. So back again to Matthew 6. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Again, that's the old righteousness, the old dekesune. But when you, now we're going to get the new kingdom heart righteousness. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Okay, we're going to spend the rest of our time unpacking this illustration, this contrast. And Jesus, he's going to give us in this contrast between the old and the new, he's packed in there quite a bit. He's packed in there our action, our intention, and our reward. Action, attention, and reward. So first, we're looking at the old religious righteousness. Matthew 6, 2. So when you give to the needy, notice, Jesus assumes that his followers give to the needy. It's a given for Jesus that we give to the needy. Be careful, though. Jesus is not saying that all giving to the needy has to be anonymous, has to be in secret. If you go to the book of Acts in the Bible, chapter 4, Barnabas sells a field, gives the money. It's a big gift, and it was totally not secret. We are talking about it, so not secret, we're talking about 2,000 years later. And, you know, I don't know if they blew trumpets, but listing it in the Bible brought way more attention to it than trumpets ever would have. Jesus isn't focused on the action. No, he's saying, don't give to the needy, don't blow trumpets. Why? Don't do it to be honored by others. It's the to be honored by others part that matters. That intent hurts us. It hurts our hearts. It can kill our kingdom hearts. Actually, to give to be honored by others and then to lie about it, it can plain kill you. That's in Acts 5. Why we do what we do really matters to God. For the Pharisees, for this old righteousness, their intent, their motive was to be honored by others, to look good to others. And notice that the intent, our intent is determined by what we expect to happen when we do things, what we want to have happen when we do things. And sometimes we try to fool others into thinking we want something to happen that what we really want is something else to happen. That's why Jesus says, don't give, don't blow trumpets as the hypocrites do, as the hypocrites do. Back then, the Greek word hypocrite, it referred to actors, to pretenders. Jesus, where he lived, they had nice theaters, right? They had plays and performances. So the people he's talking to, they knew the job of a hypocrite, of an actor, a pretender. It was to get up on stage and to pretend you are something that you are not. So when Jesus said this, those people he's listening to, they automatically knew what he meant. They understood that he's saying, don't give to the needy pretending like you're doing it for God. You're pretending like you're doing it to do good when you're really just doing it to look good, for people to see you. They knew exactly what he was talking about when he used this term. And Jesus actually changed the meaning of the word hypocrite. He brought on this whole moral, this aspect of deceit to it. So, for us, in our lives, when we give to the needy, how are we pretending? How are we, what is our real intention? Like, for example, like if layoffs are coming at work, do we suddenly become a big team player? Do we work really hard? Do we pick up the slack for our coworkers? Because layoffs are coming. How often do we do charity work, but what we're really doing is resume building? Or here, this is a big one in the Midwest. How often do we shovel snow for someone or mow their lawn? Because we actually want them to see us doing it, and we want them to owe us. We want them to be indebted to us. Let's search our hearts and see our actual motives. What do we intend when we do good things for people in need? What is the intention that we have? Right? What are we expecting to happen? Right? If we're expecting people to notice and to applaud and to be impressed by us, Jesus tells us what's going to happen. Truly, I tell you, you have received your reward in full. You've received your reward in full. Like so many other things that God does, he lets us have what we want, right? He gives us what we want and no more. He gives us what we want. So if we want to impress others, God's like, okay, you can have it. This is part of the personal nature of God. God knows when we're trying to impress others and not him. God knows where when he's wanted, and he doesn't go where he's not wanted. He'll let us impress others. He'll just stand back, let it happen. And Jesus warns us, when we do that, we are pressing back into religion. We are making it harder for the Holy Spirit to form a kingdom heart in us. We're making it harder for us to have faith, to believe. That's why Jesus said, how can you believe since you accept glory from one another, but do not seek the glory that comes from God, from only God? And Jesus shows us a better way, a way for the Holy Spirit to form the kingdom heart of goodness in us. He continues in Matthew, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Here we have the kingdom righteousness. And notice that the action outwardly is exactly the same. But when you give to the needy, Jesus is, he's not focused on the outward action. He's focused on the hearts. That's why Jesus is not impressed by Al Capone or the Nazis, because he looks at our hearts, our intent, right? What is the intention, the motive Jesus is looking for? But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Huh? What the heck is Jesus talking about? Right? Our hands don't have separate brains. Right? You can't actually have your left hand not know what your right hand is doing. And even if you could have your left hand not know what your right hand is doing, it wouldn't make you invisible. Right? People could still see you. It would not be happening in secret. Jesus can be super hard to understand. I needed Dallas Willard to help me on this one. The kind of people who have been so transformed by their daily walk with God that their good deeds naturally flow from their character are precisely the kind of people whose left hand would not notice what their right hand is doing. As, for example, when driving one's own car or speaking one's native language. What they do naturally, often automatically, simply because of what they are pervasively and internally. These are people who do not have to invest a lot of reflection in doing good for others. Their deeds are in secret, no matter who is watching, for they are absorbed in love of God and those around them. They hardly notice their own deeds and rarely remember it. Imagine being like that. That's the kingdom heart of goodness. That is folks that serve others. They do that. They help the needy just to serve God alone. They are serving unto God. Or as the Puritans used to say, they are living as though they are standing before an audience of one. Tony Evans, the pastor Tony Evans, he tells a true story about a violinist who gives their first big concert. They get up, they give the concert, and it is incredible. At the end, the crowd goes wild, thunderous applause, standing ovation, bravo, bravo. And this young violinist, they're going to take their bow, but they look, and suddenly they just start to cry. They start to weep, and they run off the stage just in anguish. Their heart is broken, and they get backstage, and a stagehand asks, like, hey, they loved you. You got to go out there and take your bow. Why are you so sad? When he got his composure back, he said, "You see the old man in the front row? That's my violin teacher. There are 1,000 people out there. 999 are standing. My teacher is sitting. It does not matter to me that 999 people think I am the greatest thing that ever picked up a violin. What matters to me is my violin teacher didn't think it was good enough to warrant his applause. And if he doesn't clap, it doesn't matter what everybody else does." That's playing to an audience of one. Evans continues, "Everybody can applaud you, but if Jesus is still seated while everyone else is clapping, it's a failure." Is that how we live? Seriously, why are we doing good? Why are we helping people in need? Are we doing it to look good? Are we doing it to please Jesus? To love him back. The more that we are focused, that our attention is on Jesus, the more the Holy Spirit can form a kingdom heart of goodness in us. "But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." What's the reward? Jesus doesn't actually say, because it's way more important who rewards us than what the reward is. Jesus is saying, to know what the reward is, you got to try it. You got to give this a try. And let me tell you, just knowing God better is worth the reward. But God has an incredible way of surprising his children with just over-the-top rewards. I mean, there's lots of folks you could ask about this, where he's done this. Folks like Mother Teresa, or Hudson Taylor, or Corrie ten Boom, or Wilbur Wilberforce, or Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Jim Elliot. You know, God, when we actually help those in need with our eyes fixed on Jesus, that shines a bright light. It makes a huge difference in this world. So what about us? What reward are we after? Right? Do we want the kingdom heart of goodness? Do we want this eternal life that Jesus is offering to bring us to life, to give us the best life ever? Jesus, it's with Jesus, it's okay for us to want the reward, right? To pretend like we're just all, you know, oh, no, we're not out for ourselves. We're all altruistic. Is that the word? Altruistic? That just brings the focus back on us. It's okay to want the reward if the reward is Jesus. What God can do for us. Today, let's listen to Jesus, his warning. Let's take his warning. The Holy Spirit longs to make our hearts like Jesus, to form this kingdom heart in us. Let's not fall into the trap of doing good just to look good, to impress others. Let's let God show us where we've already fallen in that trap. And allow him to get us our focus back on Jesus. Let's do that now. Why don't you stand up with me? If you're new to the Vineyard, we call this ministry time. It's a time where we talk to God. We pray and interact with him even more on the things we've been talking about. So I'll get us started. God, I welcome you here. Holy Spirit, come. Come with your presence and your love. And Lord, so many times when we go through the Sermon on the Mount, we just need to start with confession. We need you, Holy Spirit, to shine your bright light of truth in us. And here today, Lord, shine that light on our intentions, on our motives. So often, we do good, we do what's right, just like Al Capone or the Nazis did. We do it to look good. We do it to impress others. Show us, Lord, the places in our lives where we've done that. And God, that can be a hard thing to get our minds around. So I do pray that we can come back to your love now. We can remember that the God that is showing us this truth is the God that made us and gave up everything on that cross for us, that incredible love. And Jesus, you're also not trying to beat us up with this truth. You know that we have mixed motives. You know we do things for the wrong reasons. You're not laying down a new law here. You're just showing us how it actually works in the real world. That if our motives are off, we're not going to be transformed. We're not going to come to life now. God, help us to just accept that reality. And help us to turn away from that deep desire to impress others, to look good. Help us to turn towards your love, to do good, to help the needy, to impress you, to love you back. Lord, help us even in this moment to experience such great depth of your love that that's what we want. We want to impress you, only you. We want to play for that audience. Lord, I also think there's some folks here today that as we're going through this, it's easy to live our lives and really to kind of put you on the back burner, Jesus. And I think there might be some of us today that are like, wait a minute. No, I actually do need transformation. I need new life. The life I'm living is not good enough. I'm getting stuck in religion and other things and whatever it is. Could be addictions, could be sin issues. I need to change. And I see that, Jesus, you have a plan to change me. I want that. Lord, this might be a moment for some of us to kind of re-up with you, to press deeper, to say, yep, I want this, God. I appreciate, Jesus, you showing us how it works and how it gets off track, and I'm in. I want to be like you. I want that. Lord, wherever we're at today with this, draw us closer. Holy Spirit, you are so amazing at knowing us personally, knowing what we need next. Show us what that is. Give us the courage to take the next step for us on the path to you. Come, Lord. Amen. Hey, I'd like to invite the ministry team to come forward. These are some folks that are going to come up front, and they're here to pray for you. They're here to connect you with God. They're trained to pray in a way that respects your autonomy, that's not weird. This is a terrific way to actually press in, to come up, let someone pray for you. Maybe you see in places in your life where you're like, my motives are mixed. I want God to change them, to focus my motives on him. Come up and pray for that. Maybe you see places in your life where your motives have changed over time and you want to celebrate that. We'd love to pray for that. If there's anything that you need prayer for, maybe you're actually struggling with some health issues and you need physical healing. Someone in your life needs that. We'd love to pray for that. Maybe relationship issues or financial issues. God has things that he wants to do in your life today. I would encourage you, slow down. Let him do those things. Those are good things. They're going to lead us in some more worship here. I'll be back in a few minutes and we can take communion together. Thanks for coming to the Vineyard.